I'm joined by The Guardian's Martin Chudov, who's monitoring the situation in Syria from Beirut. Martin, we're having this NATO meeting today. What do you expect will come out of it?
I think what Turkey are looking to do is establish some form of collaborative alliance, which enables them to move away from any unilateral action and diminishes the threat of any attack on Syria. They're looking more for diplomatic and economic sanctions than a military option. By invoking the NATO alliance, they're basically saying an attack on us is an attack on all member states, and they're looking for leverage. So I think the further we get away from this incident, that the less likely we are of Turkish bombers flying into Syria and taking retaliation. It's going to be played out at a diplomatic and sanctions level.
And while this is going on, there have been some more high-level defections from the Syrian military. Is that the kind of place we should be looking at now for kind of key developments?
Well, defections have been reasonably steady over the last 3 to 4 months. The defections we saw on Sunday night, 33 officers and soldiers, amongst them a brigadier general and a couple of colonels and a couple of majors, were significant to the extent that they brought with them large numbers of family members. Around about 240 people did cross into Turkey, all of them FSA senior officials with their families. They were warmly received by the Turkish authorities, and this may well embolden other potential defectors, those who are wavering in their support for the regime, and there are large numbers of them, especially within the Sunni ranks of the military inside of Syria. It may give them some kind of steel to follow suit. There have been moves by the Saudis to indicate that they will start to pay the salaries of FSA officers and soldiers. That's something that is now permeating around the ranks of the FSA inside of Syria. There is the feeling that something is coming in terms of a critical mass of defections, but we're not at that point yet. We must bear in mind that the Alawite officer corps remains very solid, as does the Inner Sanctum, the ruling clan. We have seen no defections of any note from either of those two areas.
And there are reports today of fresh attacks, fresh clashes in Damascus, some of the most intense seen, according to unconfirmed reports. How far off do you think that we are from some kind of tipping point?
I think Damascus still remains reasonably well under the control of the regime there. The two key divisions in the Syrian army are responsible for the protection of the capital. They are holding firm. They're very loyal, and they're quite capable. There are skirmishes, there are guerrilla attacks in the capital, but I think they're more nuisance value than anything. A lot of them are taking place on the outskirts. There are a few demonstrations, a few explosions inside Damascus itself, but it doesn't mean that the capital is about to fall. It very much is the hub of the regime's power. Aleppo is the second hub in the country, the commercial center of Syria. Neither show any real risk of falling at this point, although the agitation levels, the violence levels are steadily increasing in both areas.
How close are the rebels to getting heavy weapons?
Well, they are getting light weapons. They are getting Kalashnikovs. They are getting rocket-propelled grenades, anti-tank missiles. They have started to come in the last 6 weeks across the Turkish border. Around 5,000 to 6,000 weapons, we are told. Importantly, they are getting ammunition as well, which was in very short supply right across northern Syria, western Syria, the two key areas of two key battlefronts in the country. The weapons are starting to make their way to these to Idlib, into Homs, and they are proving reasonably decisive in a series of running battles with regime forces. They're not enough to tip the balance, but they are starting to do more than just keep the Syrian military guessing.
Okay, Martin, thanks a lot.